Hello, everyone. I'm Robbie Dorman, and this is The Serial Fanaticist, the podcast for fans of everything. Welcome. Today, I am joined by Eric Z. Goodnight, my handsome boy co-host, to finish our discussion of Season 1 of Lucha Underground. It is a long time coming, and we talk about everything. We discuss the slew of new characters introduced, the way they wrap up the first season, and most of all, and most importantly, the Pentagon Vampiro death match. I love talking wrestling with my friends, and this is a great time. On to the discussion! Hello, everyone. I'm here with Eric Z. Goodnight to talk about Lucha Underground. It's been a long time, but here we are.
Robbie, I have some news for you.
Uh-oh.
This podcast is now a Cero-miedo.
Oh, God.
Podcast.
No, I don't want to get hit with light tubes.
You love light tubes.
I like them when they make light, and that's about it.
I like them when wrestlers break them on each other.
We're gonna talk about that match probably for like 25 minutes or something. But
there's a lot of stuff that happened. How many episodes are we talking about?
It's a lot. Our last episode was at 16, and we realized, I think, in the interim that we're not gonna be able to do this regularly enough to do six episode chunks anymore. So we are covering episode 17 through 39. Which is 22 episodes, I think, if I do that math. Or 23, maybe? It's 20-plus episodes of Lucha Underground, finishing off Season 1. A lot of stuff happens, including a Cero-miedo mode match. It's a death match. They had to brand it Pentagon's thing, but it's a nice Lucha death mask and death match, both.
Mm-hmm. It's a mask match.
I mean, there was a mask... There's mask violence in that thing.
Mask versus mask. That's the other thing this podcast could have been.
It could have been mask versus mask. Neither, unfortunately,
it could have been mask versus mask.
Neither of us wear masks, at least not literally.
I mean, you don't.
I have worn masks. I own Lucha masks.
I've seen it.
Yep. I don't know where to begin with all of this. Do you want to start with Pentagon Jr.? Or do you want to end with Pentagon Jr.?
We need to end with Pentagon Jr.
Okay, that's probably wise. Build up to that.
Right, right. I will just start out with this. Cage still sucks. He sucks less. He sucks less, but he still sucks.
I haven't watched Lucha in a while. I hadn't been watching Lucha Underground for a while, but I had seen Brian Cage matches in the interim. You know, indie matches and stuff. And coming back to this Cage, it's almost like cute how small he is compared.
That's terrifying.
It is. He's kind of disgusting now.
I have to look up the way he looks.
It's like even in this first season of Lucha, he's obviously like muscle bound, a huge dude. Mm-hmm. And then you look at him now in 2017, 2018, I saw footage of him not probably 2 days ago. It is gross, almost. Like, he's added probably another 15, 20 pounds of muscle on top of this version. This Lucha Underground 1.0 Cage, the Swolverine, has gotten much more Swolveriner.
I hate that name, Swolverine. It's so grotesque.
Looking at him is kind of grotesque. God, now. He's still
I am the same size as this man.
Exactly.
This hurts my feelings. I don't like that.
I like you looking the way you look better than I don't want to be close to anyone that looks like Cage. There's a certain point where it just gets too much. I'm sorry, man. Too much muscle. It's kind of like, also I'm a little worried about his mobility, honestly, but
maybe he was agile as hell in these matches.
He was. No, he's That's a good what's... wrestler. He's still a good wrestler. Yeah. He's very talented. I don't think, he would, if he took a piss test, he'd melt the cup. So I don't think WWE is ever going to sign him. He's going to be on Independence and Lucha Underground because they will test him, I'm sure. He's also been in Impact Wrestling lately. Mm-hmm. So he'll be on there too. He's going to be in everywhere probably that's not the WWE. I mean, I like him in this. I like him versus Mac. We get introduced.
I love him versus Mac. I love the Mac dude.
Yeah, which is they introduce Killshot and him at the same time. Mm-hmm. Killshot gets this whole other alter ego of this mask. Mac is just Willie Mac on the Indies. They're just like, hey, you're just the Mac. We just take off your first name. That's your lucha name. You're just mm-hmm. the same. You're the same dude. You wear the same
gear.
Doesn't
matter. You're the same guy.
Yeah.
Like it didn't make sense that they decided to just straight up, because they just straight up give him like Stone Cold Steve Austin gimmicks. Like it starts out as a joke and he just keeps doing the stunner later on, which is just weird to me. That's like a season two spoiler.
Well, I mean. It's
a weird thing.
It's the stunner. I get it. You can even if it's Willie Mac doing like his own Stone Cold impression, people are like, oh, that's fun. We don't care.
I get that, but it's I don't know. I really like him. I wish he just had his own thing.
I haven't seen season two, but in this he does it one time, I think, and then
it's true, but I seem to remember it happening, and I'm like. Really, again?
I mean,
it just keeps going.
I imagine. I don't know if that probably might just be him like doing it once to have fun, and mm-hmm. then people liked it a lot.
Yeah.
So he did it again. Like Which that's is,
yeah, whatever. That's fine.
Yeah.
You know, I'm whatever. I don't care.
The cage.
But it's just weird. I don't know. It was a good joke at first. Whatever. I think he's awesome. I just like the dude is. That's what I liked him and because there's like surprisingly agile him and Cage for the size that they are. It's just so awesome seeing them perform together.
Anytime you get fat guys doing flips and jumps and stuff, it's a lot of fun.
Oh yeah, God, he's great. He's so good.
But let's see that we get him and Killshot as Big Rick's new posse.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
While. The crew get a new third guy who then gets eaten, I guess.
he just vanishes. Who cares?
He gets eaten by
like, do you even remember his name? Who gives a shit?
No, I don't remember his name. I was like immediately there when that whole thing happened when Dario Cueto was like, yeah, if you guys don't win, I'm gonna feed you to my brother who's locked in a cage. And they're like, I would like, why would you even, I would run away at that point. I'm like, I don't need this that much. I don't need it. But as soon as they lost, I'm like, oh, well, obviously the third guy that just showed up is the one that's going to get eaten or whatever, ripped apart by Matanza, who we don't really do. He doesn't do much in this season. I've seen clips of him from the later seasons and. I've seen the actual real life wrestler who portrays Matanza a bunch of times mm-hmm. on the indies. So,
what's his name?
Jeff Cobb is his name. Meaty boy who lifts people up, puts them down. I don't know. We don't get a bunch of like that's. I think that's the thing that I think defines the rest of this like all this time like this season basically after this is like. It's really, I think there's like two big storylines and then a bunch of smaller ones that kind of are, some are great and some are like, forgettable. I mean, you have the Mil Muerte stuff and the Pentagon stuff, which I would say are the two big, like, and which the Mil Muerte stuff intertwines with Puma and Conan,
mm-hmm.
which I, of course, Conan has to. Take up a lot of time on the show. That's the funny thing to me is that how much time Conan and Vampiro end up taking up in the show when they both are like older guys. Conan can't wrestle anymore, and Vampiro says himself he shouldn't. Although I don't think it's as bad as they say it is.
No, it's obviously really overstated. You know, for mm-hmm. dramatic effect.
Yes,
I don't know. I was definitely buying it a little too much the first time. I'm like, oh man, that was really stupid of him. He shouldn't have done that. You know, he acts real feeble and he gets carted off. And I'm like, I don't know, watching it again, I'm like, I can't believe I fucking bought this. I feel so stupid.
It's wrestling. You're supposed to, you shouldn't feel bad for buying into things. That's what you're supposed to do. It's what fan, like, that's what you're, you know, when you're watching a movie and you're really engaged with it, you don't go, why believe this? I'm an idiot.
That guy's not really from Mars.
But it introduces a lot of characters. Like, even after we stopped watching last time, we have Tejano, Killshot, Mac, Hernandez. I'm forgetting people, I'm sure. I'm trying to remember others who are new after Jack Evans.
God, yeah, Jack Evans.
Delavar
Devari. Delavar Devari, yeah.
Delavar Devari, the third, the crew guy who gets eaten alive. Marty the Moth. And multiple people coming back after they vanish for a bit. Although, and they also had, was it the Disciples of Death, even though
yes,
all three of them are just guys from the couple, like the first handful of episodes in masks, different masks. So they're not new technically, but they are different characters, which I mean, that's what half the characters in this that don't like, as Dragon Azteca, whoever, whatever, he is, I think they say that's King Cuerno in that mask as well.
Is it really?
That's what they say. I don't know. I don't think anyone's ever identified him, but I think that's King Cuerno in the mask. He doesn't really do much except like skits with Black Lotus. Is that her name?
Mm-hmm. Black Lotus.
Who? Let's talk about Black Lotus, Eric.
Apparently Ray Horace is his name.
No, that's... Is that Ray...
El Dragon Azteca?
I thought it was El Dragon Azteca was... I thought they were referring to the next... I don't know. I was trying to like read into season two stuff and I was getting very confused because there's El Dragon Azteca Jr. Mm-hmm. And whatever.
That might be who's in season two, but I don't even think the one who supposedly dies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess he doesn't really wrestle, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Black Lotus.
I get it. I see the Lucha Underground on Reddit people talking about who did it. So I can see the confusion. I get it.
You don't like Black Lotus.
Oh, God, dude. They really didn't know what they were doing with her the whole time. You just remember, like, up until those 16 episodes, she would just show up and stare in just like nothing at no one. Just come, just stand out there and stare. They, like, just look scary. And she would just disappear. It would make no sense. And then they made this storyline, and it comes to nothing. I don't know. Like, I don't know what in the hell they're trying to do with it. It just seemed really strange to me. There was no payoff. I don't know. She wrestles a little bit next season, but I think it's pretty uneventful. It's like, why are you building it up so much? When there's nothing, there's no payoff. It's not fun. It's not interesting. I don't know.
I'm not sure if I don't know what they could have had her do that would pay off that mystery very, like, it, all they had, I feel like they are like that. That's them attempting to build some kind of, like, they want to build this legacy and this history because they want to make, because they're setting up, Dario Cueto has a brother, Matanza, and then, you know, she is training to get back at them, and you have this Dragon Azteca guy training her in this weird, like, V for Vendetta scenario they have going, and I don't think they understood, like, what it meant, like, they would, by showing her all that, like, you have to pay that off with something more than, oh, she exists.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think they ever had anything more than that in mind. I thought they were just like, well, we'll just seed her in here early on. But they probably didn't understand, like, you got to pay. If you're going to be introducing something at the very beginning of the season, and then, like, compare her story to Pentagon's story.
Mm-hmm.
Which Pentagon's story takes a long time, too.
Yeah.
But it culminates in, like, this gruesome death match. And it's like this big story that interweaves a lot of other people's. And hers is just like, she shows up, she gets put in jail, And then she joins Dario Cueto. Like, that's it. Then they drive away in a truck with batons in a horse trailer.
Uh-huh.
Which, I like that a lot. The horse trailer. So goofy. I don't know, it's not afraid to be goofy. That's kind of half my...
Well, if wrestling was afraid to be goofy, I think that would... You'd might as well shut it down.
And there's sometimes it happens. We touched on Killshot and the Mac, which they don't really do anything in particular. They just kind of wrestle good matches. That's basically what their role is for the most part. They don't have really like stories other than, hey, the Mac and Cage don't get along because they wrestle mm-hmm. a lot. We have like a weird Tejano and then Alberto Del Patron. Yeah. And then Johnny Mundo gets added all that. And then they kind of forget about
that beef. It just goes away.
They forget about all of that for the most.
Yeah, no. I mean, basically, the way I looked at it is that when they introduced El Patron, his character was essentially like the exact same as Johnny Mundo's character. So they had to have he had to be his rival, and they had to basically have one be the face and one be the heel. It felt really like that's what it had to be. They were being the same guy, essentially.
I really like Alberto El Patron, Alberto mm-hmm. Del Rio. I like him as a character, but as a wrestler, he bores the crap out of me.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I guess I get that.
And Mundo's, like, a perfectly solid wrestler,
mm-hmm.
Whose character work, I think, is helped by the goofiness of Lucha Underground, by the telenovela stuff in it. It makes him stand out a little bit more than he normally does. But there's very few people who can wrestle Alberto and make it exciting. Like, his style mm-hmm. is very, it's still very WWE, like, formulaic, and I hate the mm-hmm. Tree of Woe stomp finisher thing. I hate it. It's so, and it, every time you look at it now, I just go, oh, that's so bad. Because you have to pull yourself up and hold yourself there while he climbs up to the top rope and then eventually jumps off and stomps you. And then why are you holding up? Why are you staying in the way? Like, I can suspend my disbelief for a lot of dumb wrestling moves. But the people hung up in the corner holding themselves up so he can stomp on their chest. Sorry. Too much.
Quite okay.
Too much for me. I mean, I'm not alone. There's a lot of people who hated it whenever he did it. But I felt like, I don't know, that you look at the build up to the last, you know, the last few, like those last three, basically, episodes, which are like the Penultima Lucha and Ultima Lucha 1 and 2, they are supposed to be putting a cap on a lot of storylines and I think and showing like the best the show has to offer. I think they wanted to... As a showcase, as a way to like, look, this is the best we have, and it felt like every match. I didn't care much about like all of the Mexico needs revenge on Chavo,
mm-hmm.
and they turned Blue Demon Jr. and El Tejano is a good guy. He's a good guy now. I thought like that all those flipping back and forth.
It made no sense to do it quite so quickly. It really seemed just strange.
Yeah, especially when you have Gift of the Gods Championship, the Aztec medallion mm-hmm. belt, which is a good idea. I like that idea for a belt, like the belt that it represents basically a Money in the Bank briefcase, but it can be won and lost. You know, so you have to use it if you want to keep it. You should probably use it as soon as you can. But I don't know. It felt like that match was a big hodgepodge of like dudes they had nothing to do. They had nothing for. They're mm-hmm. like, Big Rick's in this one, and so is King Cuerno, and Sexy Star. Yeah, throw her in there too. Bengala for some reason.
Bengala. It's like shitty third rate Drago.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Like, I like the, like, Drago gets a lot of focus in this, like, latter half of the season, and I like it a lot because he's, like, in, like, Pentagon, a lot of way exudes a certain, like, charisma and, you know, that fucking the black tongue thing and the mm-hmm. and the crazier dragon mask that comes out, and apparently he's a demon officially. I don't, that's the thing that I, but in those matches versus Aerostar in the series, which is very good. I really like
he's
it.
He's from in, oh yeah, the what was it, best of five?
Yeah, the best of five series.
The Classico they did. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's very good. It's just very, like, instead of, like, you know, this is just a dude who dresses like a dragon and, like, he's act mm-hmm. no, he's actually a devil.
No, he's from El Inframundo.
Uh-huh. And Aerostar is literally an angel. An alien.
No, he's from beyond the cosmos.
Well, they have, like, angel lights cast down on him a lot. And, like,
I think you're not supposed to think about it.
Okay.
It's like, it doesn't really hold up to thought.
I mean, they do put Drago against Mil Muertes, which is an interesting. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, the two yeah. spooky guys put this two spooky guys against each other. Hey, Eric.
Hey, Robbie.
Mil Muertes. We see the casket match.
Mm-hmm. And, God, I love it. God, love that casket match.
Even though you still don't like Phoenix in your notes here.
I just can't, like, I feel like you said this about some characters, is it's like he's put there, like, hey, you should like this guy. And, like, I don't. And
is it just like,
it's not, is it's it not just like
ambivalence?
Is it, I think so.
Okay.
I don't know what it is. Like, his matches, like, I can see, like, how you could make an argument. Like, he can be exciting to watch, you know? But, like, I don't know what it is. I think just his gimmick just feels so... I have no idea. Like, almost anyone else that feels as generic as he is, like, I enjoy watching more. I don't know why. It's really hard to articulate. He just kind of bores me. Even when he's doing cool shit, it's just like, all right, well, that's... A guy that I don't like doing shit that's cool.
I think I described him in one of our older episodes is that he is an incredibly technically skilled worker. Mm-hmm. Like, he's a better wrestler than his brother. He's a better wrestler than Pentagon. Like, if you just want to say, like, like how he paces matches and how what he can do in the ring, he can do more. But he doesn't have the kind of charisma. He doesn't have the... care, like, the physical charisma that Pentagon does, and it feels like they are all they have left is, like, okay, well, he is this incredibly skilled wrestler that they can put in the ring with anyone at any time, and they can mm-hmm. he can have a good match with him just regardless who it is. Like, he wrestles Mil Muertes, who's a giant guy, and he does a great match because he bumps his ass off for Mil, which you have to if you're gonna wrestle a good match with Mil Muertes. And you can put him against another smaller lucha guy. They'll have a great match. Like, he can do anything, but his character is, like, all he has is, like, I'm a good boy guy. I'm good. Mm-hmm. I'm a good guy. I'm trying to be good. And then that's kind of, like, all he has. And, like, you can't, I don't, they try and I thought that was an interesting thing. They tried by having him beat Muertes in the casket match, and then Muertes came back because he needed to be defeated by the Phoenix. Like, they, you know, they're bringing all the mythos and mythology they can in all this, and so yeah, they needed the Phoenix to kill him so that he could come back stronger than he was before. And, like, that's fun, but all that they don't ever, like, put any more work into Phoenix's character, really, because, like, you contrast him with Pentagon. Pentagon has, like, a segment for, like, a lot of episodes where he's, like, praising his Dark Master. He's long promos in Spanish. Some of which are translated, some of which are not.
Yeah, bless you, Netflix.
Yeah, so I understood the meaning of some of them. And, I mean, you can just look at him and understand he's just yelling about breaking people's arms.
Mm-hmm.
But Phoenix never gets any of that. He just gets kind of like, he's sitting in a locker room and people are, like, threatening him or like,
yeah,
that's Katrina is just, like, licking his face or something. Like, like, that's all there is. It's not, he doesn't have a lot of other than, like, he's, I think that, I mean,
yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That I feel like that explains why I feel they're trying to force him down my throat where like Pentagon's selling himself.
I mean,
I don't know. That just it just really it ruins the fun for me.
I mean, it's not. I think that a lot of people love. I still like him. I mean, I don't love him or anything. I think I like watching him work. Basically, you know, he's a good wrestler. That's enough for me a lot of the time. Like I'd watch him wrestle a match 1,000 times over watching Alberto El Patron wrestle again, or even Johnny Mundo, or like. If you're asking me, hey, about King Cuerno, King Cuerno has all that character along with his hunter, you know, wearing deer's heads to the ring and stuff. But I like him, but he needs someone else to dance with that brings a lot more. I think that's why his stuff with Mil Muertes is the best he does in the season, because Mil Muertes is like this interesting, like bold character that has a different dynamic than him.
Yeah. And
adds a lot of flavor. When he has Phoenix like wrestling like six other people in a match at the, you know, in was it the second to last episode for the Gift of the Gods belt, like that's fine. Like, yeah, Phoenix is a fine enough guy to carry that belt, and the nature of it allows them to take it off him if they want to, but it doesn't suit him very well. If like a good, like in wrestling in particular, the good guy is often at the time only as good as the I don't know, face. It's hard to write a good face. I agree. Like, that's a hard thing to do. It's easy, especially if, like, you look at this match, or not this side, you look at the season, and the fact that Pentagon is, like, breaking people's arms and people are cheering him. Like, it's not, you know, evil, dark characters are sexy, and you can do weird things with them, especially in a show like this where people have soul stones and dark masters and all kinds of weird supernatural stuff that they're not afraid to use. But Phoenix just gets, hey, you're a good high flyer guy, go wrestle six other people and you'll do some spots and you'll win the belt, and that's it. And I think that's obviously, it's setting up already for season two. It's setting up, I don't know if they carry this out at all, but it seems like, well, Mil Muertes is champion and Phoenix has the Gift of the Gods championship. They've already have history. It's setting up them against each other to a certain degree.
I don't remember exactly where it goes, but yeah, I accept your theory. I don't remember what happens.
I haven't watched. Highlighting. I still don't like Phoenix.
I don't.
Sexy Star.
Yeah. What the hell's that all about? You want to recount? It was Rosemary, wasn't it?
Yes. Rosemary, who wrestles for Impact, who's one of the best. Like, I've watched her matches. She's an interesting character and a good wrestler. I'm one of the few reasons to watch Impact at all. And there was a match with Sexy Star. Luckily, only slightly injured her arm with a shoot armbar. I saw the match. I watched the match that this happened. This happened in Mexico. It was a three-way match. And the third person that was neither Rosemary or Sexy Star, this is much more recent than this season of Lucha Underground, to be clear. But Sexy Star was the third person was being extra stiff with Sexy Star throwing potatoes, thrown harder than needed strikes. And that's which is clear. You see that. Like, that's not, like, that is not up for debate. But then Rosemary wasn't. You know, Rosemary was doing, she was being a good worker, being a safe worker. And Sexy Star puts her arm bar and then wrenches too hard on it and legit hurts her. And that ultimately, like, led to Sexy Star is, like, married to a boxing promoter, and so she is, like, trying to, I guess, segue into, like, a real-life boxing career, and so she's not really wrestling anymore, but it seemed like most people blacklisted her already. Like, she's done. Like, you can't, if you start shooting on people, no one's gonna book you. Like, you're not trustworthy. They can't trust you to work right, and people in the ring can't trust to work with you without you hurting them when they're vulnerable. So why would they book you at all? And she's not like some superstar draw anyway. So it, you say, like, the irony of Sexy Star saving people from Pentagon breaking people's arms. Yeah. And it ultimately, like, that real world stuff, I can't, anytime she's in the ring, I just don't care.
Yeah.
And she's in a lot of this. She has a lot of stuff.
Yeah, they wanted her to be a damn star in this. I don't know. I was into it, you know, beforehand. I mean, just for the sake of I don't know. I found it interesting. There are certainly better. There are better women characters in this. She is, I don't know, kind of boring. It's fine.
I mean, that's in that. Yeah, that's ultimately. Yeah, she's fine. But
yeah,
she's not. She's not a great wrestler, and her the real life stuff just makes me. Don't care. Like, I don't like all that stuff about her, like saving people from Pentagon Jr. I'm like, okay. I wish it was someone else saving them. I wish I had someone else doing that. Trios titles.
That was not a thing I expected, but that moment when those three won and everyone chanted, "You deserve it." Like, I was really along for that ride.
Yeah,
I really like those matches.
No, they're very good. And
yeah.
And I think they're really good is because you are bought into that story of these like of Son of Havoc, of Ivelisse and Helico, of these like three like people who are at odds with each other, and they're put on the team, and then ultimately they end up succeeding.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked. It worked really well, and it made, like you said, it surprised me that I ended up caring. Where I'm like, yeah, climb the ladder. Like, you really want them to win. You're like, yeah. And like, it successfully, like, won. Like, I think it's funny that they even point out in commentary that the original, like, trios titles are a thing in Mexican wrestling because there's just too many people on the roster. So they had to have matches that could feature a lot of people all at once. And that is basically why they have trios titles in Lucha Underground, too, is because they only have an hour-long episodes. They have a lot of people on the roster. So they have to have trios titles so they can get a lot of people in matches. I think it ultimately works so this, because it gives them time to show off character. Like, it has Ivelisse and Son of Havoc's weird relationship where he dumps her, and then they're like, I guess, back together by the end. It's hard to say. And Helico is weird. Like, I don't, like, he's like this. He also doesn't have much of a character.
No, he doesn't.
He's just like,
I don't know why
he's
fun, though.
I mean, he jumps off, like, he does, like,
oh, God,
20-foot drop kicks off of rooftops and stuff.
No,
so
this is awesome. No, it's kind of fun, like, how dorky he is and, like, how kind of lame he is and how incongruous. I don't know why it works. I can't remember if he had the Justin Bieber hair in this season or not, but he gets Justin Bieber hair, and it's amazing.
I mean, he is like, I think he stands out because if he's just like this, like, yeah, okay, bro. Yeah, all right. You want me all right, I'll wrestle. Ladder match, okay. Yeah. And you got Mil Muertes over here, like, raising himself from the dead, and Pentagon Jr. And he's just like, hey, oh.
It's all like right. Finger guns.
Hey.
I'm from South Africa.
Hey, oh, yep. Yeah. I'm a tall, lanky dude. I jump. Like my
still
hat,
though, man. Jumping off the fucking office. Holy shit!
Yeah, it's very good. It's a very good.
I'll watch that. I'll watch that shit any day.
Yeah,
come on.
It was. It still makes the rounds in.
Yeah.
Those spot highlights of people doing dumb shit in wrestling because it's awesome. I like the trios title. I like everything they do with them. Although, as soon as the Disciples of Death won at the end.
Jesus.
I knew already that Mil was going to win.
Yeah.
They tipped their hand. I think it was all like immediately I'm like, oh, they're going to all pose together at the end with all their titles. Duh. But, and also the Disciples of Death they're just skull men. It's just skull. Those are Arjenis, El Mariachi Loco, and Ricky Mandel in those masks.
Okay.
By the way. In skull costumes, and they are servants of Mil Muertes, or at least Katrina.
Sure.
It's hard to say. They don't worry too much about that.
They're bad guys with skull masks. So you're not supposed to think about it.
They're bad guys with skull masks.
Yeah. Don't. Never you mind. You look over there.
Marty the Moth.
What a fucking weirdo.
Is a weirdo.
He is a goddamn weirdo. I liked him a lot more in this season. Ugh, I don't like what they do in the second season with him. He follows me on Twitter because apparently he follows a gazillion people.
Yeah, that's a lot of people just follow anyone who follows them.
Martin Koskos. or however it's said.
He was on Tough Enough. Didn't make it, though, to WWE.
Hmm.
I mean, it's a fun idea. It's a very interesting idea of, like, this obsessed fan who managed just to make it into the ring and wrestle, who's, like, who is a weirdo.
Mm-hmm.
And calls himself Marty the Moth and...
Flaps around
and acts like he is a descendant from the Aztecs.
He's got Aztec blood.
Yeah, obviously.
Give me that moth coin. Give it to me. I want it.
I like the idea of him, but I do know a little bit of the... He becomes like a weird... Like,
yeah.
He kidnaps...
Sexy star
already. So
season two.
Yeah, like...
Yeah.
So it's not... Yeah, he's... Let's go very gross way with it. There's like a... Like, they could do a... I think there is an interesting way to have like a weird like fan becoming a wrestler character, but they just go with, hey, he's a creepy stalker, kidnapper guy. And it's just like, that's not... That wasn't good like a decade ago or 20 years ago. And nowadays, no. No, thank you. I do like the idea that he has this weird manic energy that's really... It's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when he's with Dario Cueto. Derek was like, who are you? Why? Trying to think. Speaking of Dario Cueto.
Mm-hmm.
I love that man.
You what?
I love him.
He's good, isn't he?
Dario Cueto knows mm-hmm. I talked about Lucha Underground embracing the goofiness, the silliness at times, but playing it with a straight face. That is exactly what Dario Cueto is. And I am surprised they never have him just look into the camera and wink at us from time to time. Because it feels...
No, you have to be Alberto El Patron to do that.
I guess that's true. It just feels like very like Dario Cueto could have like this meeting with... He has all these meetings with these people in his office, which I just every single meeting I'm just rapt with attention because his dumb cheesy overacting is just brilliant.
Oh man!
And it like I expect him like to hand over a stack of cash to somebody, and as soon as they leave the office, for him to stare over at us and go, wink, just like, you know what's going on. I'm gonna screw that guy over later, ha ha ha, because he does that to everyone.
Yeah, well, it's I don't know. It's the boss villain.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone is just dying for that to be the bad guy.
I mean, I think I like him because he is that boss villain.
Mm-hmm.
And he is the guy that makes the plot work. Like, he just pushes. Yeah. He's constantly like, no, you're doing this now. Oh, yeah, you were number one contender. Now you're wrestling Mil Muertes for it. Yeah, it's not fair. Sorry. I know you just fought three other people for it and you won. Now you got to wrestle again for it. That's the matter. Like, he is the engine for the plot in a lot of this. But he's not... I don't know. I think of a lot of other... Like, that authority figure in wrestling is way overdone and really boring a lot of the time. But I give him credit where it's due. By the end of the season, he's on the run. He's not in charge. Mil Muertes is in charge, I guess.
Yeah, it's a weird thing.
But it changes. Things happen. It's not just like, mm-hmm. I'm an authority figure for 5 years in a row because we don't have any better ideas about who to be in charge. So we need some guy on camera to tell people what to do. And he's hammy and is fun. He doesn't take up too much time. He takes up the exact right amount of time. Considering the length of some of these matches are 20, 30 minutes long, he doesn't dominate screen time. Like, his presence is there, but he doesn't have to be on screen the entire time. Which is very nice. I mean, I don't, despite all the backstage stuff and all the vignettes, there is still a lot of wrestling on Lucha Underground. Like, a lot of time per episode is devoted just to matches. I'm trying to think. Prince Puma.
Dude's still pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, they're continually, like, challenging and pushing that character, like, to be a bad guy. And he has that whole bit with Hernandez, where Hernandez is like cheating for Inbuin, and ultimately he's like, no, I don't want to you to cheat for me. I want to win on my own. Like, it is, Prince Puma still is, like, he is, like, kind of the core of where everything around in the show kind of revolves around. And he's, it's not, like, dramatically sexy, that storyline of a good guy doesn't want to cheat. Good guy wants to remain a good guy. But I think it is a very, and because Ricochet is such a great wrestler, it works. It makes the show function because he's always there. He has a lot of championship matches in this latter half of the season, especially. And they're all good.
Yeah, I can't think of too many. Even if they don't all stand out, I can't. I never really walk away from his matches thinking, oh, that was boring, or I didn't enjoy that. He's pretty consistently awesome.
I you know, the match versus Drago and the match versus the final, the match versus Muertes, the two that stand out to me. They're both very, very good matches. Also, him, like, King Cuerno match is good. Cage is the match, the Boyle Heights street fight. He's very good.
Oh, yeah.
But his presence is, like, he is that put upon good guy who has, like, Conan, who is not sort of good and sort of bad. He's kind of like this weird devil figure on his ear sometimes. Sometimes he's not. It's hard to say. Like, they play around. I don't know. I don't know. Like, Conan, I felt like Conan was definitely like, he's actually a bad guy and he doesn't really care about Prince Puma too much. But then by the end of the season, Conan's just kind of like, no, he's actually like this kind of broken down wrestling manager and he stands up for Prince Puma. Like, they don't, I think they, I feel like they went the, I think they saw what they are doing with Vampiro and didn't want to do the same thing with Conan, basically. So Conan kind of backs off the edge of being a bad guy. He does have that cane, though.
Mm-hmm.
It's loaded.
It is what, yes, whatever that means.
There's lead in it.
Mm-hmm. So there's load in it.
You hit someone in the head with it, they get knocked out.
Mm-hmm.
And they lose the match.
It's true.
That's what happens. Pentagon, Eric. Pentagon Jr. I think we've come to the time where we can wrap up the last half hour of the show with Pentagon Jr. talk.
Pentagon Jr., who was inexplicably Scorpion from Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, kind of.
No, he's pretty magnificent.
Yeah, he is one of the highlights of probably my favorite character of Lucha Underground and one of my favorite wrestlers in general. He's very good. He's had, you know, it's a very slow build, and I think it works so well because it builds so slowly, because it is actually a storyline. I think that, and along with the Mil Muerte storyline, one that is set up very close to the beginning of the show, and they build it and build it and build it, and it actually pays off, and not just in, like, in a story, it pays off with, like, a brutal match that ebbs and flows and really tells a great story, along with the scripted, you know, of him breaking arms and having some weird, mysterious Dark Master and all the interactions he has with, you know, versus Sexy Star and all the different people. It takes its time, and I think that's part of why it works so well, is because it is not afraid to, like, let it build for literally, like, 30 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
It builds up to the final match.
It did kind of feel like they started it maybe kind of the same way, you know, where they were just like, just come out here and say, Master, I'm going to break arms and then do this dumb move. I don't know. It was kind of like the same way they were doing the Black Lotus stuff, to where they're just like, just come out and do this and we'll see what we do and we'll figure it out later. And I don't know. Do you think that from the beginning they were thinking they were going to involve Vampiro in that? Because it does. I mean, I don't know. All the writing in this does feel very, we'll move this around and move that around. And I don't know.
I mean, they shot this. I think I'm not sure if they knew, you know, they knew precisely.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like,
this, well, do you think they went into the season one thinking they would have Vampiro as an announcer and then he would do one match at the end of the season? Do you think that was a thing they had planned?
Probably not. But I don't know. I think they filmed a big first chunk of episodes at one time, and then the latter half, or more than half, the latter two thirds of it were taped like months later.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to think that it's probably at that second half point they realized new closer to what the direction was, and you know, it changes. Wrestling changes. People get hurt. You know, people they take other bookings. Like there's a lot of other things that can happen. So it's hard. Like I don't know how much was planned in advance, but it feels like they obviously, when they introduce that he has a master, a dark master, it has to be someone eventually, or it's not like you have to reveal it at some point. And it feels like,
or it could just go nowhere.
Well, I mean, to satisfy people, it would. I mean, yes, there's plenty of bad wrestling that doesn't do anything with the questions it asks, but that makes it bad. I think because they answer this question, because they ultimately do reveal who it is, I think it makes a perfect sense to reveal, like, as soon as you introduce that, you're like, all right, he has a Dark Master. Where do we reveal who it is? Well, end of season one and put it a big cliffhanger. That makes sense. You know, that makes sense as in a television perspective. I don't know if Vampira being involved, when that got added in, they tip their hand that he's much earlier than when he says, we're going to wrestle I forget when it is, but there's a certain point. It's the same time. It's when he first goes after the ring announcer. That's when we first see Vampiro kind of, he doesn't get involved, but he stands up like he's going to. And then Sexy Stark instead comes out and stops Pentagon. But that's like 15, 20 episodes before the end, feels like. So
yeah.
That at that point, I go, it is enough of a direction for me to think, yeah, that's where they're going, where they have Vampiro just slowly introduced, like, yeah, he's not going to stand for this. Oh, good. Someone else did it. And then, you know, eventually he does get involved. And then ultimately they like have a match. And the fact that Vampiro is a legend of Mexican wrestling, him and Conan both, it feels like it's intentional to a certain degree. Like, yeah, they know that it means something to have them wrestle. Like, we know Vampiro, like, because he was in WCW. Like, it doesn't, like, he's not a, I didn't watch Mexican wrestling in the 90s, but him and Conan were humongous draws in Mexico in the 90s. They sold, they were very successful, even though he's Canadian. He was the Canadian vampire in Mexico.
Mm-hmm. That's a sentence.
Exactly. But
he was the Canadian vampire in Mexico.
In Mexico. I think at that point they must have known that it would lead to something. I don't know what the plan was, but it feels like some of this feels like it was seated. Like, it feels like all that Johnny Mundo, it feels like the Alberto El Patron stuff happened because Alberto got released and was available.
Mm-hmm.
And so they went, of course. Let's have him. Why not? And it felt like, and also they had Tejano, and they talked a lot about AAA at the same time. Feels like they suddenly had maybe an agreement with AAA. They had like things opened up to them, so they agreed to let people in. But at a certain point, you have to lock down what's happening. And I feel like that is cohesive enough a story that they locked it down relatively early, midway, probably. I'm not sure. It did. It led to one hell of a match. Have you watched a lot of death matches?
Death matches.
Matches with light tubes and thumbtacks and blood.
Mm-mm. No. I might not have ever seen one before.
But you like this a lot.
Yeah.
Where it is, I believe, 25% of the notes you have here are about Vampiro intro is great. Vampiro match is one of my all-time favorites. The violence is so well sold. Vampiro injury well sold. So great how he returns the match. Then these four lines I love in particular. The thumbtacks, the light bulbs, the ripped mask, the flaming table.
Yeah. I don't know that, like, it feels kind of sick to go, like, seeking this, you know? Because, like, I don't know. When I think about, like, a lot of wrestlers that have done a lot of hardcore matches and shit like this, I don't necessarily want them to kill themselves, you know? But it's still fucking awesome when they just do this stuff. Like, I was expecting it to be something a lot less, and then it's so damn over the top. I'm not expecting it at all, and that's, it just makes it that much bigger. It makes it that much better. You know, I'm expecting Pentagon to throw this softball at Vampiro, and he's going after him like he wants him dead, and it's fantastic.
I mean, I think I generally don't like death matches. Generally.
Why would you say so?
Because I think they're gross, mostly. They're mostly, like, I think this is an example of one that is, I think this is perfect. Like this, yeah. And the stuff that Foley did in the WWE, like, which was grotesque at times, but it was generally pretty safe. Like, it's when people getting, I've seen stuff, like, just stumbled upon clips and stuff on the wrestling internet, and some people love it. And it's not that it's not necessarily safe, because getting like superficial cuts on your body is probably safer than in Helico jumping 20 feet off of a office roof doing a drop kick and stuff. Like, ultimately bleeding a little bit is not like necessarily any less safe than that, but it's probably safer because tomorrow the cut will have scabbed over and you'll be fine. You don't have to worry about infection and that's it. It's like, it's just, it feels a lot of the time ultimately like empty violence.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's death match tournaments where it, you know, people are doing just grotesque things to each other and there's Lucha Underground goes further than this. I think it's Killshot versus somebody. They have, I think, an episode in season 3 where they have a really, like, it passes, like, I've seen clips of it, and it, like, the spots in it pass my level of, I want to see that. I don't want to see this. Like, thumbtacks and gimmicked light tubes and, like, flaming tables where, you know, people catch on fire when they're wearing layers of clothing and then their fire extinguished 3 seconds later. That's fine. I think you're right. It makes this match where Pentagon's breaking arms and he's, like, putting people out of commission throughout this whole season. And they sell this match with, oh, Vampiro's retired and he is retired for a reason. He can't wrestle anymore. His body is beaten down. He's broken from wrestling for multiple decades. So he just does stuff behind the scenes. He announces, and they sell, it makes the violence, the enhanced level of violence, even though it's really not that much more violent than a typical match. It just feels that way because they're smashing light tubes on people's faces and they're bleeding. It makes that violence mean something, and it really sells the importance of the match. And it is shocking.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's nothing else in the like, they have some table spots and some chair spots, but there's no light tube spots. You know, they don't rip people's masks, which, you know, like, that is a thing I'm a sucker for in any kind of, like, there's some I've seen some luchador matches in Mexican promotions where they're like this, you know, blood feuds. And the guys are, like, their masks are, like, half hanging off and there's blood cut. Like, that is it's a really cool visual.
Mm-hmm.
And it works really well. It's like Spider-Man getting his mask ripped off by the Green Goblin. And he's bleeding and stuff. It's cool. It works. And I think ultimately that is why this match is really awesome. Because that violence, that perceived more intense violence, is actually used to enhance the story. And they don't really do anything that gross in this. You know, light tubes are... Mm-hmm. I assume these light tubes are gimmicked.
Yeah.
Because they can't... Real light tubes have very bad chemicals inside that...
Yes.
But generally, wrestling promotions, when they use light tubes like this, they'll cut a hole in them, empty out the chemicals, and put in powder. So it looks very impressive, but it's not really dangerous. You mind, you'll get superficial cuts, but you will not... You know, you're not going to inhale stuff that's going to, you know, poison you. But I think Vampiro's entrance sells his importance in the story and as, like, a figure in wrestling in Lucha history. very well because it is so like ominous and weird. Him like this weird Pope mask, Pope hat on, weird like dark, and ultimately sells the reveal that he is the master. He is the Dark Master, and that works really well. It's a nice reveal. Did you have any idea that was coming?
I didn't really expect it. I don't know. I can't remember what I thought at the moment. I don't know. I was just very pleased. I thought it fit together so nicely at the end. It was just a really great moment. I can't recall what I was thinking the first time, though.
I think I had an inkling. I'm like, this feels like an audition, like halfway through the match. When Vampiro came back out, and it felt like very much like, and I think it's just me, like, also, like, story crafting in my head. You have your announcer, who's been the announcer for most of the first season. He's not going to win. Pentagon's going to win. They're not going to put Vampiro over Pentagon. Because Pentagon is the hottest, like, one of the hottest characters in this show. I would think they understand that he needs to win this match. But how do you do that and keep Vampiro on the show, like, as a character, like, and not have him just disappear? Oh, well, you make him the Dark Master. Makes sense. And it's not like I knew it, but I'm like, that would make sense to a certain degree. And who else would it be, honestly? You know, what are they going to do? Like, have a guy come out of the shadows and reveal some guy you've never seen before?
Mm-hmm.
They'd want it to be a character you know. So having Vampiro makes a lot of sense. And they definitely sell very hard the difference between Vampiro and Ian, whatever Vampiro's real name is. They're like, yeah, Vampiro is this one thing, and him in out of kayfabe is a different thing. They're like, and they really try and sell the difference in that. And Fell's like, well, they wouldn't do that without a reason. It's my favorite match of the whole season.
I think it's worth it.
There's a lot of great wrestling in Lucha Underground. I think I still like their camera work a lot of the time. I think their editing is still like they edit their matches, but they don't go crazy with the edits. They only do it really when they want to hide mistakes and make things look like heightened impact of certain things. And ultimately, I think their editing is very good. I still think the announcing is fine. I don't think it's bad. I think Stryker's. What do you say? You said Matt Stryker comes into play. What is that?
God. He says that like 6 times every episode.
Oh.
It gets so fucking annoying. Like, just go back and watch any episode. He can't stop saying it. I don't know why. Like, I never questioned it until you were picking on him the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, that started standing out to me, and now it drives me fucking crazy. It means nothing, and he keeps saying it.
I'm sorry that I've ruined a thing for you.
It's okay. I mean, it's just Matt Stryker.
Yeah, I don't like Matt Stryker as an announcer. I think he's fine. He is like replacement level announcer. He is the absolute average, and I just would like someone better. But I don't know. It could be worse. Like, that's the other thing. Like, it could be worse. There are worse announcers in wrestling. There's a lot of bad announcers in wrestling. There's like 4 great ones and then a bunch of average guys and then a bunch of terrible guys. I don't know. I still like Lucha Underground a lot. It's a very interesting thing.
Mm-hmm.
It has a lot of really interesting stories in there. I think it's still ultimately the first season is like telling this story about Dario Cueto, who's like this weird outsider to Lucha culture, starting this Lucha promotion and using a lot of the culture to sell the matches. And ultimately he gets driven out by the end, but he's driven out by Mil Muertes, who is like this evil character, evil. You know, it's not Prince Puma that drives him out. It's Mil Muertes that drives him out. And I'm curious what they do in season 2. There's a lot less episodes in season 2 and season 3 than season 1, which makes it
they're a little overkill on the episodes this season.
Yeah, I don't know what the reasoning is behind all of like they're I think they've had multiple times where they weren't sure if they were going to continue.
Yeah. They just had the funding to do 30 something episodes, and they're like, well, we're not going to not put it in season one.
Yeah, exactly. Get all of it out. But I'm curious to see what they do. They're filming season four now. We may or may not come back to Lucha Underground. I'll probably end up watching more of it, even if we don't do podcasts about it. I like it. It's a good pro wrestling, not bad pro wrestling. Is that your overall, Eric? What do you think? Overall thoughts.
Lucha, 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 Lucha.
Deep and insightful commentary from Mr. Goodnight, as usual.
Mm-hmm. That's me. I'm a smart.
I'm a smart. It's fun wrestling. It's not afraid to be silly and goofy and also bloody and violent.
Doesn't have Japanese guys carrying giant swords, though.
It doesn't. It doesn't have... it does get some Joshi wrestlers later on.
Some what wrestlers?
Joshi. It's Japanese. Female Japanese wrestling. Or Joshi. It's Joshi. It's called. Hmm. Which, like, Kairi Sane and... can't remember the other... They're the Black Lotus Triad. One of them. Hmm. One of them is in the WWE now, in NXT. She's the Pirate Princess, Kairi Sane. There's the best elbow drop I've ever seen. It's ridiculous. Probably because she weighs like 105 pounds because it looks so good. Anything we haven't touched on, Eric? That you wanted to talk about?
I don't think so. Pretty good.
Wrestling's fun. Watch wrestling.
It's the fun.
It's the fun. I like it. There's more wrestling than the WWE. There's more of it than that. So you don't have to... It doesn't have to be that. Doesn't have to what is wrestling in the world. There's other wrestling. There's lots of it. There's Lucha Underground and there's New Japan and there's a lot of other American wrestling. There's a lot of independent wrestling. There's wrestling everywhere, and it's never been a better time to be a wrestling fan because it's easy to find it, easy to watch it. So Eric, what do you want to plug?
Oh, that's a good question. You can see my portfolio by going to freewillunlimited.com. See the other things I get up to online by going to ericzgoodnight.com. That includes my Instagram and my Twitter, where I'm known on both as Easy Goodnight.
As always, Eric, it's great having you.
Ooh.
Lucha, Lucha, Lucha,
Lucha,
Lucha, Lucha.
We're not really good at the... timing there.
Thanks again to Eric for joining me. You can find the show online at serialfanaticist.com. You can follow me online at Robbie Dorman on Twitter. If you like the show, please give it a 5-star review, subscribe, tell all your friends, all those things. They help find the show new listeners, and I really do appreciate it. I thank you for the effort. Until next time, thanks for being a fan.